Manitobaville, the podcast, is brought to you by Rodeo Road Studios. Hang on to your hat.
Hey, everybody, this is Mahangel. You're listening to Manitobaville, the podcast. This is season four. We're going to wrap it up with a conversation with our musical man, Davey LaForge. Okay. All right. He's going to join us right around the corner. So as many of you know out there, listening to the Manitobaville, you read the credits, you read our show description, you'll see a name in there. It says music by Davey LaForge. And what that means is that Davey does the show music. He's doing our show music, our intros, our bumpers, our extra. And Davey's an up-and-coming blues man. So how you doing, Davey?
Not bad today. Not bad today. Just had a boxing workout. It's been an all right day.
Did you knock anybody out? Get knocked out?
Oh, that bag hit. It knew it was coming. Like, watch out.
So you work out at the Pan Am Boxing. What's it called? Boxing gym?
Pan Am Place is our. Yeah, I guess they just Pan Am Boxing. Pan Am Place is the place where I live at the rooming house.
Okay, where's that down on Arthur Street?
Arthur Street, right by. I keep getting McDermott and McGregor mixed up. I can't remember
McDermott.
What that is.
McDermott,
yes. Yeah.
Okay. Right in the heart of the Exchange District.
Yes, sir.
So you're exchanging boxing blows.
Yeah, like all the guys in the house are trying to join the fight team. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah? Hey, break these down for us. So where you're living is at Pan Am Place. And what's that all about?
It's a house for at-risk young men. Of any age, any descent, as long as they're a good fit for the place. And we offered discipline. That's why I joined here. And yeah, it's a very, it saved my life I can't preach enough about how good it is.
So what brought you to the Pan Am Place?
A long journey. A very, very long journey. I can't remember a lot of it because it's been a blur. But basically, alcohol brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
More or less, in a nutshell.
Is that the case for other people that are there? Or is it?
Yeah, it depends on the drug of use during their life. But yeah, basically, we're all the same.
Okay. So recovering.
Recovering, yes.
Yeah. And then that's, and so Pan Am Place is adjacent to Pan Am.
Pan Am Boxing, yeah.
Pan Am Boxing. And so so part of what you do at Pan Am Place incorporates like physical exercise and boxing into the program?
Yes, you literally have to do 3 workouts a week. It's non-negotiable, which is, you know, not a bad thing. So you have to come in here with the right mindset. And if you do, you're going to get really, really fit and be happy. So just with the right reasons,
so
people will have a good time.
So it gives purpose. So you can
purpose, yeah.
So you can focus on that instead of having free time to dwell and maybe what do they call it? Relapse into
relapse, yeah.
Yeah.
Boredom can be dangerous, it's true.
Is there other aspects? Like you remember once you mentioned something about doing chores or having other responsibilities?
It's 3 hours of workouts and 4 hours of V time, which is yes, chores. Volunteer time is chores, which technically isn't volunteering, but it's part of the program. So but, wording aside, that's what it is.
But it keeps your environs shipshape and clean, and I guess
yes,
that helps with the mental aspect because you're living in a place that's organized and well taken care of.
And I noticed every time I wake up, it's never happened before I lived here. It's like I start sweeping the floor a bit. It's not like anybody told me. So it's like becoming muscle memory, as it were.
Yes, yeah, neat. It's sort of like what they used to do with the army. People would join the army or be sent to join the army to create that sense of discipline or, you know, take care of your environment or, you know, your personal environment first. And then that radiates out into the society.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many things in addiction that translate to every aspect of life. Like, for example, don't act well emotional. That's something I learned in addiction. And that transcends to every aspect of life. I mean, in general, that's like acting well emotional could cause mistakes or errors or cause you to act in a wrong way or something.
Yeah.
I'm a poster child for that.
Yeah, then you don't have to regret as many of your actions.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, because because then you're still allowed to regret certain actions.
Just yes,
not,
you are.
Just not all of them. Yeah, because we all do things where we go, oh, what did I do that for? As far as the boxing goes, is that like as far as from its exercise and it's part of the program for keeping you occupied, keeping your mind occupied, your body physically occupied. Is there an organized element to that too? Like, do you box people at certain times, or
actually, I mean, not, you know, in the classes we spar, but it's body sparring. So no headshots, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, a lot of guys here are getting their medical because you need a medical to get into sparring, and every day another guy is getting into sparring. It's like really, it's cool.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen anything like it in 2 years.
And that's like a step towards maybe a boxing match someday.
Yeah, after that they get on the fight team, and you know the sky's the limit from there. We have a really, really good trainer here, like one of the best in the country, Mark Collins. And yeah, he trains people for the Olympics. This is one of the hubs for boxers, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah, it's a notable program, isn't it? The Pan Am Boxing, because they've had some real top flight boxers come out of it.
Yes, very much so.
That's cool. It's a cool thing to be around.
Oh, it was very intimidating at first, but it's like super cool to be part of something like this. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I see a lot of the little videos you make where you're down doing some bag work or, you know, the other components of the workouts, and it looks like a lot of fun down there.
It really is. I mean, sometimes I feel a bit lazy, but I want to go down there and just work out just because, or maybe get motivation, make a video, help me work out, something like that. But yeah, I like taking videos of my progress. If I were to show you a video of when I started out, I mean, wow. It's like throwing punches with my arms rather than my leg. I don't know. It's way different, like night and day.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So you brought your guitar with you here to our interview.
Yes.
And I was gonna morph into your guitar playing. It's really come along too, because you came to that as an adult. You came to music.
What, at the age of 20, I started.
Yeah. So what did you 20th. What was your experience with music before that? Like, had you played any instruments or noodled around, or were you just?
Oh yeah, like when I was younger, I think I always liked rock, and I didn't know it. My mom got me this toy keyboard when I was a kid, and the first thing I played on it was Smoke on the Water.
That's right out of the box.
Just listen to it. I could hear the notes by ear, and I'm like, okay, just taught myself Smoke on the Water.
That's wild. That's wild. So you're a noodler, and then, so when you're 20, you picked up a guitar and looked at it and thought about playing it.
Nope. Actually, I went straight and I got the lessons without a guitar, and then I brought the guitar after.
So they've supplied a guitar for the lessons, or did you just watch?
Yeah, they supply the guitar for the lesson. Yeah, that'd be funny. My first lesson was actually tapping my feet and clapping my hands.
Yeah, like, timing. Yeah.
Timing, yeah.
You're going to need this later, son.
Yeah, truly important. I was like, I was kind of confused and like weirded out at the same time. It's like, next week we're going to learn blues solo or blues scale or whatever. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So just moving right along.
Yeah. I moved pretty quickly for a year.
So what made you want to go get lessons then at that point? What prompted
tell you
that?
The truth, tell you the absolute truth. I have no idea what made me do it, but I just said to myself, I'm learning this and I don't care. I knew nothing about blues, nothing about anything. I thought Stevie Ray Vaughan wrote Ray Vaughan. The song Rave On.
Yeah.
Rave On. Na, 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 na. Yeah. I literally asked my mom, did Stevie Ray Vaughan write this? And she's like, no, while probably laughing in the background.
Yeah.
But yeah, literally knew nothing. And I just said, I want to learn this. And I spent like 8 to 12 hours a day. I locked myself in my room or apartment for about a year and a half. Didn't really talk to anybody so I could condition myself. And yeah, many, many, many hours, 12 hour days sometimes.
Wow.
Just running scales, like my own finger exercises and such. Bending exercises. Oh, many bending exercises. I think one time I wasn't happy with my bending, so I bent one string a step up, and I counted it 1,100 times.
Oh, really?
Just get it right? Stuff like that.
Just repetition, right. Yeah.
I would torture myself if I didn't get the finger. I'd start over. Do it again.
So you were building discipline back then?
I was, and I didn't really know it, honestly.
Yeah, you just wanted to get it right. It's the only way to do it.
OCD helped a lot because it's like, no, I can't hear that. I have to do it better.
Yeah, really? So you're hearing something in your head. So music was always bouncing around in your head and you just decided to move it down to your fingers.
Yeah, I think I always had the pentatonic scale in my head, to be honest with you. It's what I usually arrive back on.
Yeah, cool.
Most rocking scale ever.
What is that? Show us. Can you show us what that is?
There it is. This is the A pentatonic. I'm not sure if it's a... No, okay, I'm pretty sure it's a minor pentatonic, but I can't be sure. But it's a standard pentatonic. Here we go.
Okay. Sounds familiar.
And if you can play... What I always taught myself is as long as you're playing a note in the scale, no notes are wrong, so it's like... I don't know, just any note in the scale, and as long as you're relatively on time, then it'll sound good.
And so a lot of music's built on scales, of course. So pentatonic's like a big blues scale.
Blues, rock, and I know they use chromatics and rock a lot and stuff. I haven't really dabbled in that.
So do you want to play a song for it? Do you want to play us a little riff or something? I know you got a new unit. You can talk about that if you want.
Okay, this is a Pink Floyd Feel, and I'm using a Pink Floyd, well, at least I assume it's a Pink Floyd patch. I'm just going to see how this sounds. I think it sounds okay. Let's see what we got. An intro here.
All right. So you're a guitar player in Pan Am Place. You're around other fellas and stuff. Are you the only musician in where you live?
No, I'm not. I mean, my buddy Stefan here, he plays metal, death metal. Like, I'm not sure if I sent you a track of me growl singing.
Oh, I think
I will send you that.
Yeah, I think you did.
But yeah, that was me singing, and that was him playing the background chugs and whatnot, and I was doing the solo.
Okay.
But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, like occasionally, it's weird. You don't know someone's talent until you ask or inquire sometimes. But I didn't know he was a guitarist until he told me. So there could be another musician. I highly doubt there's a lot of them. It's pretty rare here, but...
Yeah. So do they mind? Like, you probably noodle a lot. You're probably practicing and playing. Are you soundproofed off?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm assuming no one minds, but whenever I do play, I play upstairs in my room.
Yeah, so it's...
Sometimes
it's
downstairs.
So it's kind of quiet. Like, you're not out there jamming away and making a big noise.
Nope, just playing tasty licks. Trying not to play noise.
So where else do you play? Do you play around town at all?
No, I used to have I used to jam with a guy named George, and he's since passed away this year, but I've learned after my lessons, it took a year and a half. I met him at the Forks for, you know, the licensing and whatnot. So they have this big shindig where the judges go and choose whoever gets the license.
Oh, for buskers.
None of us got the busking license. For busking, yeah. And I was playing my little acoustic guitar, playing blues. I knew I wasn't going to make it. I mean, the guy filming me, whatever. So I left and I saw this guy with a keyboard, looked like this old school blues dude, leather jacket, cowboy hat, boots, kind of thing. So long story short, we played guitar jammed for 15 years. And we played out, but I can't remember because I was so wasted. Like we busked at Osborne, Cinnabon Park. One time we went to Mona Lisa's and we jammed there. I wish I was sober for that because I met Howard Manshine there. And he's like, damn, you're really good. You got to do something with this and stuff. And of course I didn't do something with it and stuff. But yeah, that's the most high profile place I played at was Mona Lisa's.
Huh.
Or this place called Happy Mike's. Have you ever heard of that?
I think so.
Yeah, I played there and I spent my whole set tuning the guitar. So sad. Yeah, technically I played out.
So, but you play over at the Cube and stuff, right? Just on
the Cube, yeah. Every days. Monday they have you should come by one time in the summer. Every Monday they have an open mic. And I went there a couple times. Yeah, that's a cool little setup they got there.
So your music is a lot of a lot of blues, a lot. What's your favorite type music to play?
Definitely blues. Blues is my roots.
Yeah.
I like playing in any. One of my favorite, or it took me a while to learn, but it's figuring out the key of the song within a couple of notes, and the key to that is every pentatonic scale there is. Stuff like that, like just every same scale, just one fret up, and then you figure out the root note. That sounds okay, and then you got the scale.
Then you can play along with anything.
Yes, absolutely.
It's another original production from Rodeo Road Studios. This episode of Manitobaville, the podcast, is sponsored by Antiquarian Objects, the legend of Manitoba, and your friends at Rodeo Road Studios, marketing mavens of the digital range.
Podcasts, videos, TV, digital media, marketing, analytics, and more.
Visit us today at rodeoroad.ca.
Rodeo Road Studios. Hang on to your hat.
Some songs don't like the pentatonic scale, so you might have to learn another one. Like I know three scales, the pentatonic, the chromatic, and harmonic minor, which is something like... Yeah. So if it's a minor song, then I'd use that scale. It sounds really sad and Santana-y.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So you're telling me one day that it turns out that playing stringed instruments runs in your family and you didn't know it.
Well, my grandpa, he played everything under the sun that was stringed and nobody else. I think he was the only real musician in the family. And then just kind of skipped a generation. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody in my, all the weebs are, she's a Scot now, but we're talented people. Like, she's a good crocheter, my mom. She can do all sorts of stuff. And dad was an artist, stuff like that. But no musicians, though.
You just really took to it when you started playing?
Yeah, especially once I learned the scale. It was just addictive. And I just played Stevie Ray Vaughan's tracks over and over and over again until I basically synced up as much as I could with him. Stuff like that. Play till you get bored. It's a weird saying, but it worked for me.
Yeah. Well,
like when it's boring to you to play a blues solo, then you're obviously pretty good at it.
Yeah. Then it's just making money. It becomes a job, and then you're like, oh, why did I pick this? I like music. Why is it making my life? That's interesting. So do you have plans to like make a band or to play, record an album or play out with people, or like besides doing this fabulous gig where you do music for a podcast, do you have other plans?
As awesome as it is, honestly, I would love to do a lot of stuff. How to meet the right people or one person. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of that I'm not lazy, but shy, and a combination of lazy, because I know I can talk to people.
Is it also that like that collaboration would bring their type of music to the forefront? Maybe it wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah, it helps having a second voice to talk to, like another musician to talk to, and just him being there and jamming with me would make me play something that I wouldn't normally play by myself.
So it would open up your world a bit.
Absolutely. I'm actually going to a jam. Whatchamacallit? I can't remember the date. But there's going to be a bunch of musicians there. And I was thinking, who knows, maybe I could meet someone there. For example, I mean, just open my opportunities a bit more, just put myself out there a bit.
Yeah. So do you have a repertoire? Like, do you create songs, or is it more of just a jamming at this point? You're enjoying playing the instrument versus creating actual songs?
I'm a singer, but not a singer. I mean, I don't fancy myself a rhythm guy. Like, I don't know many songs at all. The ones I do know, I know pretty well. I mean, one of the first songs I learned was Blackbird. No, I just played to make the guitar sing, basically. I like the challenge of making or adding spice to another song.
So sort of like that improvisational kind of playing, whether it's with your backing tracks or with other musicians.
Right, yeah. I like being a specialist. Like when I used to play video games, RPGs, if you're familiar with those, I would concentrate on one thing, like strength and speed, or one or two things, just pinpoint that. So that's kind of where I was going with this, I guess.
Yeah, just nail it down and then see where it goes from there.
I mean, I made sure to know the basic chords and all that stuff. But nothing really more advanced than that. Although I kind of like the jazz chords, though. And so if I played something like that for a jazz guy, it's okay, so our next song is going to be... No, that's all I know.
The music store song. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I can test out every guitar with this riff. Neat. But that's fun. Yeah, it's fun having that in your pocket too. Something to go back to and just, you know, it's like having a palate cleanser between dishes when you're having a long meal.
Yeah, actually. Oh, here's something neat. I bought an Ebo back in the day. I'm not sure how. Yeah, they're pretty old.
Yeah.
But I found the Ebo and it was amazing and I lost it. But I got this other one here. I want to try out. I honestly forget what it's called because it's covered with stickers.
And that's to help with sustain, right?
Sustain, yeah. Yeah, stuff like that. This thing amplifies the guitar to its max, so it's really weird to find a proper patch for it. But yeah, you can do arpeggios.
You remind me now that you did the theme song for Antiquarian Objects, The Legend of Manitoba.
Yeah, I believe that was this.
Yeah.
Was that not?
You're reminding me of that Crossroads. It's the Crossroads piece,
oh, yeah,
the Paganini.
That's right, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, it just popped into my head because I was thinking, oh, yeah, there's that classical kind of Crossroads sound. So what's the trends now in music, like Winnipeg and live music or just music in general? What are you hearing out there on the streets? What's the vibe out there?
The vibe to me is dance music. I don't know, like, I don't find many. I mean, it seems like rock and blues is kind of underground still. I don't see it. I just don't see it anywhere except for like in TikTok videos and, yeah, TikTok videos.
Really? So
YouTube shorts. Blues is always too underground. I mean, it's a very underrated style of music that people don't understand. But I don't see it very often, or true blues, or not what people decide what they think blues is, but it's never going to change.
Do you see yourself predominantly as a blues man?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, 100%.
Yeah.
Ask her better. Want to see a neat trick? I think I showed you this before. I'm going to try to play a bit of slide, but I can't do that. I think this is standard tuning now, can I?
Detuning.
There we go. Now we're ready to slide. Cheap little slides here.
You know that music really, it transports one. You know, you just start playing that and it's like you slide right out of reality into all different kind of imaginations.
Oh, it's crazy. You can modulate the sound no matter where you're, especially if you have a true slide guitar where the action is like an inch off the maybe a half inch off the board, something like that.
Yeah, it's just got that whole quality to it though. It's just like it puts you in a big cloud.
Yeah, it's something else. Thank you.
That's wild. Yeah, finger picking. That's like you have to have 10 brains.
It was pretty angering to learn, honestly. But yeah, I understood the got blisters on me fingers thing quite quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's the most important thing is not to, or at least try to let go of your thoughts while you're playing. Stevie Ray Vaughan said it himself. It's like whenever I think about the solo too much, you know, yada, yada, it's like it's not going to work out as well. So again, you make a mistake, either repeat that mistake, like it's supposed to be there, or just keep going.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you see a lot of people in Mexico, they'll shake their head, they'll look around, they'll, you know, and you're like, oh, did they just make a mistake?
Yeah, like nobody notices, unless it's a catastrophic, you know, something obvious. Yeah. But
exactly. And then you see other people break a string and you wouldn't even know, they just play around it. They're just like, well, I guess I got to play it on this string then, or over here, or around here.
Like, it's annoying, but I can definitely play on a 5-string guitar, depending on which one is missing.
Yeah. Do you play mandolin and ukulele, stuff like that?
Ukulele, I've tried violin, and I know that's the same tuning as mandolin. Not really mandolin, though. Those scales are still kind of weird to me.
So what other kind of sounds you got going on? Do you want to give us another sample of a fun, yeah, Davy LaForge tunage?
Okay, so what I'm going to try is a quote-unquote John Mayer style backing track. Sure how to end songs on this. I'm gonna have to work on that.
You have to have like a fade pedal. You kick it and it just fades that sound out.
Yeah, actually it's weird. There's two volume pedals on this amp, so I have to like turn my phone down as I turn this at the same time.
Oh wow.
Hypothetically I can do it better.
But this new amp you have, what's it fits in the palm of your hand, doesn't it? So it's tiny now. Just this tiny, like it's, yeah, if you put your hand out, it's probably as big as your hand.
And yeah, exactly.
How wide is it? Like an inch? Not even?
For perspective.
Smaller than the phone, yeah.
Smaller than the phone. Smaller than my iPhone, too, yeah.
And has all those sounds in it.
And more, like, you can, not just the sounds in the, that the company put in there, you can download from anybody in the cloud, so thousands and thousands.
Really? They so backing any, tracks, all that?
Any back, you don't have to go to YouTube anymore.
Wow.
It's all right there. I think YouTube connected with them somehow. I don't know.
Well, that's amazing. I can't believe that. So hey, we made a video years ago, a couple years ago, right?
Yes.
We should tie that in because, that has some of your playing and tells you some of your story. And
yeah, we did talk about extending that.
We'll throw that up on YouTube and we can tie that in so people can go over to Rodeo Road Studios on YouTube and we'll put that up. And so if you like Davey's interview, you can check that out. Some other stuff on there, like we said, Antiquarian Objects, the short 6-part series we did for 5TVs on the YouTube channel. And Davey does the intro song in there and some other, you did music within the program too. And we had a couple other musicians as well do some dobro and some fiddle. And Davey.
Is the dobro guy, is that the same one in the studio? That,
yeah,
was in the studio?
Tim Osmond, he played dobro.
Yeah, that guy's amazing.
And Gilles Crevier played fiddle for us on that show.
I didn't hear any. That's the one thing I didn't hear was the fiddle.
Really?
I mean, in the studio, I heard a bit of the.
Oh, in the studio? Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, listen to the show. You'll hear what he did.
Absolutely.
Or watch the show. Yeah, if you want to spread that around, that's fun. It's up on YouTube now.
Okay.
We've put all 6 episodes up. So, yeah, go grab those, share the links.
I definitely will.
let people know. And yeah, so there you go. Davey LaForge, musician to the podcast. Our Manitobaville theme music.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So is there anything else you want to say in parting before we wrap up this episode?
No, you'd think so. I mean, I usually have a thought or two, but I think I covered everything in my head.
What would you tell yourself if you were, say, 12-year-old Davey? If you could zap into that head, what kind of thought would you put into it?
I think I actually thought about this. What would I tell myself? Question is, would I listen? But I mean, assuming I would listen, I would say stay away from alcohol. I mean, for sure, it sounds cliche, but I would do that. I would tell myself to learn guitar sooner, for sure. Other than that, I'm not quite sure.
I like that caveat. It's would I listen? That's important. Because, yeah, I don't know. Would we listen? Did we listen when we were kids? People probably told us all kinds of wise things all the time. But you don't value it because, yeah, you don't value it until you have the experience of life to put it in perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if somebody says, well, I wasted my life up till this point, so kid, don't waste your life up till this point. It's like, yo, how come you get to have all the fun with a wasted life? Why does mine have to be all organized?
Hypocrites.
Can I just have a chaotic situation and then learn later too? Who knows? So being a Winnipeg Blues man, is that a dying breed?
I think it is and it isn't, because I bet you anything there's a bunch of other underground blues dudes out there who haven't done anything with it. If I'm here, then there must be others. So I don't think it's a dying breed. I just think people aren't coming out of the woodworks with it as much as they should. And I think they really should. I really wish there's a blues scene in Winnipeg again in the future. Like a real blues scene. Like Fables told me of the 80s. And Colin James was here and stuff like that. And that must have been wild. I don't think we can get that back, but fully. But it'd be cool to have a blues bar or two, like that isn't, you know, ready to shut down and full of crime.
Yeah, but isn't that what a blues bar is? It's a place where they play blues. It's always going to shut down. It's always sketchy.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's always got the liveliest fans and people really makes you feel alive, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's more of the. Yeah, you know what? A blues bar is a blues bar. I just want more of them.
Hey, folks, just a reminder, our email is howdy@rodeoroadstudios.ca. Or you can use the contact form at rodeoroad.ca. You can visit us on social media. Just search for the Manitobaville moniker. And we appreciate every like, share, and comment that you care to make. And visit our YouTube page, Rodeo Road Studios. And when you watch that video, please hit the subscribe button. Thank you so much.
All right, big thank you to Davey LaForge for helping us wrap up our season 4. We'll come back with season 5. It's going to be a doozy, a humdinger. You can't miss it kind of thing. Just want to thank some of the guests we had on this year. We kicked it all off with Linny, host of Antiquarian Objects. Go over to YouTube, Rodeo Road Studios channel. Check it out. We talked to the good folks down at Sundown Gymkhana. We talked to the folks over at Heartland Rodeo at their finals in Grunthal. We talked to Tom Rennick about the new style banking. We went over the high wire zip line down there, south of Manitou. We talked to the fastest show on ice over there in Beausejour. We talked to Scott Craker, 7-string master. And we talked to Alan Castell, all about tech stuff and how to run the perfect company. Oh, yeah.
So join us for season 5. We're very, very much looking forward to it. And I hope you are too. See you soon, Manitobavillians.
Manitobaville, the podcast, is a production of Rodeo Road Studios Limited. Copyright 2023.